Joining the program now is Alia Howe, the choreographer for a new piece, Rumbling Into the Launch Pad, tonight, The Herd. Hi, Alia.
Hi, Luke. Thanks for having me.
We also have with us one of the dancers in that program, Megan Shapiro. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Luke.
Thanks for joining us. So, The Herd, tell me about it.
The Herd is a commission from Dance Initiative, so I really want to say thank you with all my heart for being given the support to carte blanche create a new piece. And last year, people may have seen Vacuum, which was a light piece interviewing people and talking about what we want to vacuum out of our lives. And we were traveling around, and I kept seeing herds of cattle everywhere, and I began watching them, how they moved. And I began thinking about herds and then looking at herds of people and how they react. And my dance piece became an exploration of herd mentality. And really, when we make decisions guided by other people's opinions, that for me is like a herd response. Or when we're all compelled to act on something that inspires us, and then what it involves us stepping outside of the herd, what causes us to stampede, what invokes a riot, what makes herds of people want to leave Syria, what's the tipping point? And the whole piece has been researching herd reactions in humanity, mostly, even though it started off from an animal inspiration. And I've been exploring what the herds of humanity are doing and plucked out a few subjects, like Standing Rock has a huge momentum. It's engaged the whole world. The rape of a young girl in Delhi a few years back caused the whole world to stand up, and India is now changing, and it affects, it's not just in India, it's in the whole world. And then what other things about the herd have I been looking at? How we copy one another, how we move in momentum. Megan, what else have I looked at in this piece?
You know, I'm just thinking about the flocking and that mimicking of, you know, a leader and how we get sucked into that or not. And I think one of the things that's been really interesting inside of it is the way there are expressions choreographically that are extremely tight and very choreographed and very unison, and we are literally a herd in those moments. And then sections where there is the breakaway and there is this dissent or rejection, and then how that happens and manifests itself choreographically in the space is just really interesting.
Well, that was my question, my major question, really. I can imagine dealing with these issues in written form, in spoken form, in filmic form, but I'm having trouble seeing how that manifests in movement. How did that work? It sounds like a real process.
Because we have Megan here, I'm going to go back to Megan's section, which deals with refugees, and she is working with a mannequin. And she's welcoming the mannequin. She's curious about him, wants to welcome him into the community. And the story develops then, well, this person, this mannequin, can't stand on its own two feet. It keeps falling down. But you want it to be able to stand on its own two feet because maybe you want to get on with your own life. And then what you start doing to this mannequin, what you do to one person, begins to have ramifications and effect. Other people. So as Megan is working with the mannequin, I have other dancers responding as though what Megan is doing to the mannequin, she's actually doing to them. And so this suggests that we have a huge impact with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions in the world, not just to who you're dealing with in the present moment, but it ripples out. So that's a visual human representation of that.
I can see that. Megan, what was your experience with that mannequin?
Well, it's been a really interesting journey with the mannequin. And it's been challenging in a really, really rich, wonderful way. I love doing work that is not just challenging choreographically on my body, like physically challenging, but it's also cerebral and thought-provoking. And, you know, leaving rehearsals with this mannequin, I'm going home and I'm integrating things and I'm questioning, why was that so hard for me today? Why was this part hard and this part wasn't hard today? And it's been really fascinating. At the beginning also, before we decided who was going to actually work with the mannequin and who was going to be the ripple effect, so to speak, I went back and forth between both roles. So having experienced both sides of it and then ending up in the role that actually is in contact with this mannequin, I think also really informed the process for me. But it's been really, really a very fantastic, welcomed challenge. And the section is serious and heavy and in parts devastating, and it is that to be in it too. And because it's not perfectly choreographed, because it's open to some improvisational elements, there are surprises each time, and there's an emotional component to those surprises because of the content of that solo.
Wow. So you're discovering things as you're going. You're not going in with a preconceived notion of things.
There's a structure and a score, which Alia has created for it. And then there is space within that. So yeah, it will be a little different each night. It will be different for those viewing it. It will be different for me.
And how much of that was improv? How much of it was prescribed choreography?
Within the score, you know, I would say the score is, you know, embodies, like, fills about half of me during it, and another half of me is in that exploration place during it.
Have the improvisational sections changed?
They're different every time.
They are.
Yeah.
Huh. So they'll be different the day of the performance
tonight, and they'll be different tomorrow. Yeah.
Interesting.
And they'll be different. They'll land differently emotionally for me too, because of that, I think, which is really makes it very raw and very fresh.
Yeah. Interesting. Alia, you mentioned that she's part, Megan is part of the immigrant section. You have other sections too? Tell me about the other sections.
I do. It opens with a commentary about Standing Rock, and then it speaks about whose land it is, who is trying to take the land, who's fighting for the land. And then it moves into more of a herd, a stampede. It could be buffalo, it could be people at a train station. And then we move into a section that is a solo with Emily Pfeiffer, where she is talking and feeling about being in an underground in London where there was bombing, and there is it. It deals with that moment of getting free and all of the elements that come up when you're caught in a disaster situation. And then, boof, we break out of that and the herd is marching along. And then it becomes into a text that I am speaking. And the dancers are undressing, and they're undressing. They're taking their layers of fear off, their layers of masks. And then we move into a section called The Herd, which is the flyer. And it's just about people moving together, reacting together, maybe unconsciously, you know, maybe from programming of where you grew up, what your parents told you should do. It's very crisp and reactive. And then we move into a Latina section, which is a story about the disappearing of the Latino culture, which I read about when I first moved here. And then after the Latinas, we move into Megan's section, the refugees, and woof, we then come to the water, the healing moment, the waves of water washing us clean, washing us towards the light.
Mm, wow. You know, maybe it's endemic to where we live and the times that we're living in, but herd mentality has a lot of negative connotations. Did you discover, Megan, as you were dancing, some positive aspects of a herd mentality?
Well, I think even just becoming awake and aware of herd mentality, bringing it into our consciousness, even if in doing so you're recognizing some negative pieces of that, just the awareness alone creates positivity, right? Because then we're starting to say, oh, I'm noticing that I've joined into this group mentality, and is this my truth? And is this the direction that I want to go? Just the awareness alone is positive. And then certainly within the piece, in the final section, the water section, there's so much hope and so much beauty in that. And it is still a part of a herd. So the piece, you know, it touches on some very, very important and deep and difficult content, but there's a strong thread of hope there too.
Nine dancers. That's a lot of dancers.
Yes, it is. It's a herd.
It's a herd, isn't it? Huh. Does that change your strategy for bringing the dance to life?
Each piece I make, Luke, has a different strategy, and it's not a planned strategy. It's working with the dancers, their skill level, their schedule level, and seeing who's here, who's coming. We had a huge influx of people in and out at the beginning. I am so grateful to Dance Initiative having me teach a company class on Sundays so people can come and regularly take class and then filter into choreographic projects. So that's where I started, was who's showing up on Sunday, and now I'm starting rehearsing. I knew I wanted to do the chair section. I knew I wanted to work with how do flocks of people move together, separate, swarm, and come back and move out. I began to explore in the creative process, because I too found that most of my connotations towards herds were stampedes or riots or destruction. And so I went to see Amma down in Santa Fe, who gathers herds of devotees to come and see her for a hug. And I was one of the thousands who was moved so carefully around and through to receive my hug and then depart. So there are sections of this work that specifically have movement that I experienced while I was queuing to get my hug from Amma. And I went to see the Dalai Lama in Boulder to see what a herd of people who come to hear the Dalai Lama are about. And that was a very different situation. There were rioters there. There were protesters. There were people who handcuffed themselves to railings and were pulled away.
Protesting the Dalai Lama?
Not protesting him, but using it as a platform to protest their political issues, their environmental issues, their veganism issues. So coming back to the piece, I just began to explore the collective body of volume of animals, of people gathering together, and how do we respond, and looking at footage of them, looking at newspaper articles, building up to what was the tipping point of the Syrians coming over. And truly, the further I went back, it seemed to be, first of all, drought created political instability, people not being able to drink, and it created a hole for someone to take parties to take great power that then became violent. And I'm really oversimplifying this to then it being impossible for the people to continue safely living there, that drove them to jump off.
Was that the impetus for bringing water as a healing element into the dance, perhaps? Or did you discover that later on in the
water? I knew I wanted to be in there because I knew of the refugees coming over in water too. I used to live in Greece, and I taught at the State Ballet School there for 5 years. And my friends in Greece have been talking to me about what their process has been about receiving and welcoming the refugees, to them being nervous about them, to feeding them, and constantly having to reevaluate their fear about is there enough, and just to cook. So that firsthand news from them and their process, and knowing about the waters around Greece and having sailed around there, I knew the refugees were coming over on water to answer you, but also water is very healing for me. It washes. Mm-hmm. And there is a need for that at the end of the piece. It is intense. I wouldn't say it's heavy. You'll have to tell me. Come and see it. But it's a blessing. And in this piece also, the audience will be asked to participate. Maybe I'll give them clickers. Maybe I'll give them rose petals to throw. So there will be opportunities also for the audience not just to feel that this performance is being performed at them, but will you join us?
Wow, interesting. Well, despite those negative connotations we spoke about earlier, I can think of moments of beauty in herd mentality. For instance, everybody's familiar with a flock of birds and how they turn on a dime all at once and they sort of fold in on themselves and then erupt into a blossoming of something. Did you incorporate any of that kind of feeling?
Yes, I did. And I use that in the flocking part of it. And I have always been inspired by the murmuration of birds. It's just exquisite. Mm-hmm. And I started using those images early when I was making the piece. And then in the working of the piece, it began to move, maybe because of the political environment and the voting for a new president and the whole process of that. Maybe I moved more towards the humanity of things and less commenting on the natural world. But I hope you'll see in the work that they overlap.
Interesting. I'm interested in the rehearsal process, particularly with 9 dancers. That must get kind of chaotic at times. But, you know, I'm picturing a painter in front of his easel, the writer in front of his keyboard and the screen, the singer at the piano or the guitar in his hands. How does a choreography evolve? Do you push the sofa against the wall and dance in front of a mirror and say, oh, you know, you're thinking about this murmuration, okay? How do you translate what's in your head into dancers on a stage? That's fascinating.
Well, I dream about my dances. I see images. I solve problems in my sleep. I did know that I was going to be doing a chair section, so that needed 9 dancers, and I rehearsed those 9 dances for that. For the trio, the Latina section of the disappearance of Latino women coming over the borders, I just worked with that trio separately. And I knew the material and the movement that I wanted them to do. And slowly, slowly, we have built up. And this is the first rendition of it. And I'm excited that once it has landed after these 2 performances, that we'll be able to take it elsewhere or perform it here again so it can go into another depth. But with Megan's part, I began working with 2 dancers, Emily Pfeiffer and Megan Londi Shapiro. And with these 2 dancers, I had one of them manipulate the mannequin and the other respond to the as though they were the mannequin. And I had them switch over roles. And after a while of seeing them and probably schedule, maybe Emily went off on holiday, Megan became the manipulator of the mannequin. And it is just beautiful what she does with that. So that was a one-on-one process. And then the other 3 dancers who work in that section, Emily Pfeiffer, Gabby, whose last name I've forgotten, who is a wonderful new dancer to the Valley, and Bailey Barnum are the other 3 dancers who respond in Refugee.
Gabriela Alvarez Espinosa.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so excited that Gabby has joined.
Did you audition these dancers, or did you know going in, I want this one, I want this one?
No. I will work with everybody. I will work with trained dancers and non-trained dancers. I really, really welcome this small town experience of developing a dancing body, a dancing community, and it doesn't matter on the skill level, we can all move something. And if you're arrhythmic, then you're in an arrhythmic section of the piece where you just know that you have to go to point A and to point B and doesn't. I just love working with varying abilities, varying ages. I would like to have the whole community feeling comfortable to come to company class, to come and explore movement. And Dance Initiative is certainly incredible at offering opportunities for our community around the art form of dance.
Well, the bottom line, as far as that goes, is actually having a facility.
Yes, the launch pad is huge.
Yeah.
It's become a hub.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else did I want to say? I'm also working with Kyle, and I can't pronounce his last name either, who has a company called Liquid Light. And we'll see if it will happen. We'll have tech rehearsal on Wednesday. But I'm seeing also if he will be able to project images of like buffalo over the scene, of water over the dancers, of desert when the Latinas will be there. And so I'm hoping that technically we may be able to get that up and running. And if not, those of you who are listening, you know that there's another potential component that could be here. And how lucky I am to begin to explore this work. It's very different working in a small community to having worked in big cities, being based out of New York and Philadelphia, and usually working in big metropolitan cities. You have trained dancers at your fingertips, and you put together work in a very different way. Mm. Working in a community, a small community, we need to have an open heart and an open door to let people come in and explore. Is this a good fit within my busy schedule? Does this piece grab my heart in some way that I feel compelled to explore it? And that's how the cast for Heard developed. People came and went. People came and stayed. And I'm extraordinarily grateful for all of the dancers. And I would love to give a shout out to everybody. Bailey Barnum, Dana Gansley. How do you pronounce your middle name? Gansley Ellis. Emily Pfeiffer. Gabriella Alvarez Espinosa, Jenny Patek, Megan Londi Shapiro, Natalie Ray, and Robin Hubbard. Incredible. And then another huge thank you must go to David Starber, who is now at Standing Rock, who helped collage my soundtrack and sound bites together. That's a huge time commitment. And the community in Carbondale just comes together to support the artists. So please know, community, if you need dance for something that you're doing, that I would love to support you too.
Grassroots organic dance right here in Carbondale. Mm. Sounds great. Tonight, 7:30. Is it 7:30?
It is 7:30.
At the launch pad, and tomorrow night too.
Absolutely.
Two chances.
Please reserve your seats as they are limited. I mean, do connect with Dance Initiative or give them a call.
Alia Howe, thank you so much.
Thank you, Luke, deeply. Thank you.